Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
We'll see Moses' attempt to settle a dispute between two Hebrew brothers. And he comes in and it's like he thinks he's still this call that's on his life. And he just comes in and he tries to settle this dispute. It doesn't go very well. And he realizes that he's in a lot of trouble at that point. And he's been exposed to the murdering the Egyptian. You guys are mostly aware of that. But that's pivotal in his life. We see that his flight to Midian, and that's the Sinai Peninsula on the eastern side of it, I believe it is. He will flee all the way over to there. His life's going to change. 40 years he's going to be there until he goes up on a mountain to look at a bush that's burning but not being consumed. And that's going to be another place in his life where he'll change in a radical way. And then Moses' people, Israel, and their terrifying suffering, we'll see that he'll begin to understand that, and that's going to move his heart and change him. I pray that our heart is pliable and that God can come and take situations, circumstances of life, and he can mold us and change us in radical ways. We're also going to see the growing character of Moses as he grows, as we grow in our lives. I mean, if we were going to write down, put an outline form or something, Brooke, you could see that Brooke spent some time on her testimony, no doubt going through her life. I love her testimony when she says, I wasn't into drugs, I wasn't into alcohol, I wasn't, praise the Lord for that, isn't it? I remember somebody in our church in San Diego, and she never wanted to give her testimony. We tried everything we could. She was on staff. She would never give her testimony. And we finally got her to do it, and we found out the reason she didn't want to do it is because she never been in drugs, never really rebelled in any big way. She just loved the Lord, and she was a Christian all of her life. And that she got old. She had older. She just kept rededicating her life without trials, big situations that she fell into. And we, after she shared her testimony, our jaws were dropping. That was the best testimony of all testimonies, just to see that God can, use people and keep people that way. Moses' character grew. He grew by living in Midian. It was a hard, harsh life that he lived there, but God was forming him. It says in Scripture that he was on the backside of the desert when he saw the burning bush. A lot of times we find ourselves on the backside of a desert as he's molding our character in that way. You might find yourself today on the backside of a desert. Don't try to run from it. Don't try to hide from what God is doing that way. Moses' character grew by standing up for justice and for the oppressed, and we'll see that there in chapter 2. And Moses' character grew by committing himself to serve and work for others. He began to have a vision for others. All of us should have other focus, truly other focus. We spend enough time on ourselves. Maybe I'll just speak for myself. And we need to be focusing on other people. He grew as he made a commitment to marriage, and that changes you, doesn't it? When you make a commitment to marriage, it's a very precious thing to do that. And his character also grew by declaring his faith in the promised land. He named his son for a promise that he believed that God had given him. And so he had a lot of faith. The entire episode of Moses' birth and deliverance is a clear indication of God's power to use normal, everyday affairs of life to accomplish his purposes. Have you ever noticed or have you ever thought about it since you're an adult, you look back at your walk with the Lord or you come to the Lord, and then you see, even when you weren't a Christian, those that can look back and see that God was using all of those circumstances in our life. I can look back and see the circumstances, just instructing and teaching and doing a lot of different things. It's the same way with Moses. Everything that occurred could have been attributed to normal events or at best to coincidence in Moses' life here in this chapter. To the eye of faith, God was at work in every step of the process. That's amazing. When we step back and we look at things, I've shared with you a number of times that it's good for us when we go into situations just to remember to reflect at that moment. God, what do you want of me in this situation? What are you doing in the midst of I'm here? And then he can reveal things to us, and it's awareness that we have. So often we just travel. I can do it too. We just travel through situations, but if we slow down enough, we see that the Lord has things he wants us to do. That's really an art. That's an important thing for us to do, that he is for us to have an eye of faith to see that God is at work in every single step of our lives. Do we believe that today? He is a sovereign God, and so he does love us. The life of Moses presents a series of striking contrasts. He was the child of a slave, and the son of a queen. He was born in a hut and lived in a palace. He inherited poverty and enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was the leader of armies and the keeper of flocks. He was the mightiest of warriors and the meekest of men. He was educated in the court and dwelt in the desert. He had the wisdom of Egypt and the faith of a child. He was fitted for the city and wandered in the wilderness. He was tempted with the pleasures of sin and endured the hardships of virtue. He was backward in speech and he talked with God. He had the rod of a shepherd and the power of the infinite. He was a fugitive from Pharaoh, an ambassador from heaven. He was the giver of the law and the forerunner of grace. He died alone on Mount Moab and appeared with Jesus in Judea. No man assisted at his funeral, yet God buried him. I couldn't find who gave that quote, but I love that quote there. Amazing contrast in this man's life. Tonight, we will see faith in action, number one. Number two, we're going to see God's protection. We're going to see, number three, God's provision. We're going to see in a good idea tried the wrong way is a bad idea. And we can get in trouble that way. And then we will draw, I pray, close to God, and he will draw close to us. Interesting, I had written that down in the midst of your testimony there. So, Father, as we approach your word, we pray that you would bless it to us, just these short 25 verses, that we might draw closer to you and see your vision and purpose for each and every one of us. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. It's interesting what we see in Scripture at times, and it's also interesting what we don't see at Scripture at times. We're going to see a life of 40 years basically not mentioned except for his birth and a few things about his birth, and then 40 years are going to disappear. How many here believe that every single word that's placed in the Bible is there because the Holy Spirit wants it to be there, and that we are to live by every word of God? Every single word of God. And so when we look at it, something like this, this chapter here, and we see how quickly it goes by, we lose 40 years just like that with no mention, then we must realize that there was nothing there that God wanted to mention. Nothing whatsoever. So then when we approach the word, we realize the word that we see, that's what he wanted to mention. Leviticus, he wanted to mention. Deuteronomy, he wanted to mention. You know, some of you that use that, if you can't sleep at night, you go to Leviticus and read through it, okay? But if you take time to slow down, and I just joke about that because it's the most wonderful book of worship. It truly is, to see Jesus in ways that it's unbelievable. But here we see a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So they're both of the Levitical tribe there. We see that she was a Hebrew. She was a slave of the lowest social rank and position, and so was her husband. Her name was what? Jochebed. And we see that according to, you can write it down, Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. And his name was Amram. And so that's mom and dad of Moses. And she was courageous, and she was a righteous woman. We'll see that in verse 2. She was a woman of great wisdom. She planned ahead and trusted God completely. We'll see that in verses 3 and 4. And she witnessed the sovereign guiding hand of God in an amazing way as we see this. We look at it sometimes as a story. It's an interesting story. You know, they have this child, and we're going to see about it, that it says in Scripture that he was beautiful. Every child's beautiful, you know, don't you think? Every child's beautiful, you know. But what made him different? There was something about God's hand upon this baby, because he had a call on Moses' life. And then at that point, even in that young life, God knew the heart of this man. And we'll see that she had her faith rewarded in verses 9 through 10, that we see that. So let's just read here a few verses. And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it on the reeds by the river's bank. And her sister stood far off to know what would be done to her. Now, most of you remember why they're in this position, but if you go back, you see that the king there in verse 15 of chapter 1 spoke, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom we see the names of them. And he said, when you go in to do the duties of a midwife, verse 16, chapter 1, for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then you shall live. Remember, he was afraid that they were so numerous that they would turn against him. So they come now, and it's the enemy's design to try to destroy the line that would lead to the Messiah. And so you see him come there and trying to destroy that. And you know this story, but if you go up to verse 21 there of chapter 1, it says, and so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So remember, this was what was going on in this situation, where they came together as man and wife, and they conceived a son. And then it says in verse 5, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister, Miriam is her name, said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that you may nurse the child, she may nurse the child for you? Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. So that's just an overview. Possibly they believe this is a woman known as, and I'll spell the last name because I can't even say it, but Princess Hatshepsut. And if this is the woman here that brought Moses into her household, she was, according to Josephus, and who is a Jewish historian and historians, she was quite a character. She really was. She was the one that a lot of times you ever see the pictures of the Egyptians with the little beard on this little thing here, like that. She actually, what she did is, though she was a woman, she dressed up and had a fake beard put on her, and a lot of the pictures were from her. If you go back, that's true. I thought that was an interesting story, but it's just amazing. Many historians feel that she never had a child except for Moses. She wasn't able to give birth in that way. So Moses would be a special child to her. And we'll see later, another Pharaoh comes to power, and this is the stepson of this woman. And according to Josephus, the stepson murdered this woman. Now, if you go to the history, and who knows, but I just thought that was interesting. I actually gave you something you might not have known. That would be great if I did that. I don't know. But anyway, I just looked at that, and I thought, nah, that's kind of interesting. And so Moses is right in the midst of this whole thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, please. Keep your finger there. Go to Acts chapter 7, verse 17. A good way to study Scripture as we approach it, we're going to look at the life of Moses. So we look at other Scriptures. It's called correlation. It's a good inductively approach in the Scriptures. So if we want to understand what's going on in chapter 2, let's look at the life of Moses in other ways, beginning in verse 17 of Acts chapter 7. It says, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Now remember, over roughly 400 years had transpired since they went into the promised land. 400 years had now transpired, and it's time for them to come out of the promised land. It says, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and opposed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. So we see that. We see it with Moses and the other children of the Israelites. Then verse 20, at this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. In other words, he was well-formed. Many other definitions that I found to express what was going on here. He was unusually attractive in some way. And there was a goodness of appearance upon his life. In some ways, they saw even strong character without, you know, it's just a child at that point. Special holiness. Something was very unusual about this child. That's what's being pointed out. Well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned, now we get some insight about him, in these 40 years now, we don't see in chapter 2, he was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in words and deeds. So now we learn the 40 years, that's, as I said, not mentioned in chapter 2 here, it just disappears. Then we find it in Scripture in the New Testament. And that's the way it is. You know, when you want to understand the old, you go to new, and the new opens up the old in very wonderful ways. Then in verse 23, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, the Jewish person suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he, interesting, verse 25, he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Interesting verse, isn't it? That even before Moses was in the position that God was going to be able to use him, there was something inside of his heart. A lot of times that is the way it is with us. God plants something in our hearts. He plants it in our hearts. I remember when I was growing up, and then I just always had a desire to help people for some reason. I didn't know how it was when I got out of the Navy and all that. Then I got into real estate. I thought I'd become a multi-millionaire. But, you know, I was selfish in many ways. But I always remember in my heart, there was something in my heart. I wanted to use that, quote, millions of dollars to help people. There was something there. I remember when I don't know how old I was probably around 11 years old. One night I woke up and I just rolled over and looked at the end of the bed, and there was a white form at the end of the bed. I don't know what that was to this day, but I believe that it was, to me, it appeared to be representing God. And I remember I just had this peace over my life, and I thought maybe it was an angel. I don't know what it was. But I remember just these times in my life, and imagine in your times. Anybody else ever have this where God just plants something in your heart and you know there's something there? But we have to be patient. Moses wasn't patient. God would have to take him into the wilderness for 40 years. As I said, to that time where he would be there and God would say, take off your sandals for you are on holy ground, where God began to form him and call him at that point. But he wanted to do it 40 years too early. We have to wait for the timing of the Lord. Moses wasn't willing to do that. Again, verse 25, for he supposed that his brother would have understood that God, his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day, he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. They were Jewish people. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, you are ruler and a judge over us. Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Can you imagine Moses at that point? Uh-oh, caught. I'm caught. For some reason, he thought that he had hit it and everything was hunky-dory, but it really wasn't. Then, verse 29, at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. One might wonder why was Moses afraid of his death. After all, his dad and his stepdad, if you could say that, was a, at this point, it wasn't the same Pharaoh, but he was in a high position in Egypt, you know, and they could get away with anything. Some believe that there was just this animosity in the family situation where, the woman that took Moses out of the water was murdered by that Pharaoh, and that's who was in this position right here. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, please, just for another insight before we go any further. Hebrews chapter 11. You guys remember this. Beginning in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. There's that expression again. And they were not afraid of the king's command. Interesting. They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he came of age and he made a decision. He's not going that way. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Isn't that an amazing verse? You see the heart of Moses at that point, in that it even says, esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. We'll study that even more so here as we continue through looking at the life of Moses. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Amazing man, isn't he? Just a tremazing, tremendous man. We can learn so much from his life. So let's go back again to verse 1 of chapter 2, and we'll just go through this chapter. And I want to leave enough time here for Pam to share here. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Must have been an interesting 3 months. You know, shh, don't whimper. No, shh, don't cry. You know, don't even coo as babies. Must have been, you know, a time of great fear. But they saw something different. Not that they were any different than any other Israelite, but here they had he that would be used to take the whole nation out of Egypt. Don't you find it interesting that this Pharaoh who was killing all the children is actually the Pharaoh that allows the Redeemer to come into his house, and he feeds him, he educates him, he brings him into that house, and that person is right there, the hand of God. Only God can do that, and that's what God did right there, and brought him into this house in that way. She could no longer hide him. She took an ark of bulrushes, as we saw for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Who was the guy a long time ago? It wasn't Ford. It wasn't, who was the guy that discovered all the oil in the Middle East? Rockefeller? Was it Rockefeller, Jeff, or was it another guy? Pardon me?
In the Middle East.
Yeah, in the Middle East, you know. Was that Rockefeller? Anyway, I was reading his story, and I forgot who it was one time, and he felt that there was oil in the Middle East because he had read the Bible where it says that there was asphalt there. Interesting, isn't it? So ever since I've been looking in the Bible to see if I can find something that I could discover, become a multimillionaire, you know? But anyway. And so his sisters stood afar. I find that interesting, you know, that, you know, they put him there and laid him in the reeds by the river's bank. And the word for ark here is an interesting word in verse 3. It's the only other place in Scripture that word is used other than when it's talking about Noah's ark. And so we see that Moses was put in that ark as Noah would be put in that ark, and God would raise him up and protect him and be able to use him in a powerful way for the glory of God. And so here, just in that simple little word, we see God's design upon Moses' life. Puts him in that ark. She sets him free there in the bank. You know, some of the movies that we've seen, you know, you see the river going up and down, you know, and the little basket going up and down. I don't think it was like that. If you look at it, it seems like they just put him on the side there and waited to see what was happening there. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens talked along the riverside. So you can see this whole picture. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she looked, opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. Don't you think her heart just softened right there? You know, because she was aware of what was going on, you know, that her dad or, you know, whomever it was at that point was murdering all these babies. But then here's this one child. Something about that child was different, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women? So we see Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you? And then the answer coming back, as you guys know, verse 8 again, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. No small thing. You read that? Isn't that an amazing thing? The hand of God. You know, he does that for our lives. Sometimes we miss it. He just puts things together. as we wait on the Lord and see what he wants. Haven't you guys experienced that with the Lord? Just putting things together. There's no other way. I like God moments, don't you? And when you're in the midst of something and there's no other way, there was no other way. And he just speaks, then all of a sudden it happens. I remember one time I was walking on this property a long time ago, and I was coming around, I was praying. I like to walk around the perimeter of the property and just pray and just see what the Lord would say. And just kind of just walk and pray. And I was coming around over here, and I come right about where the gym is, and I just stopped there, and I said, Lord, what do you want to do? And the Holy Spirit was so kind. He says, I want to build it here. And I said, well, Lord, that's nice if it's you. I want to know what it is, you know, if that was it. And they just showed me, this is where I want to build the building that was going to be here. At this time, you know, we had no way of doing that. It was just like buying this property. We had no way of buying this property. We were less than 100 people and only had $20,000 in the bank, and they wanted $1.3 million for it. But God did it. Aren't those times fun? They really are. And then we didn't have any way of building the building. And all of a sudden, you know, he just says, I want you to build it here. So I said, okay, if that's you, Lord, then you're just going to have to lead the way. And so what we did is we had a Sunday morning out here. It wasn't December. It wasn't January. We had it right where the gym is, right there. And we just had a Sunday morning, put chairs out there, and just shared the vision at that point. It was amazing how the people just responded in that way. What's in a building? There's nothing in a building. There truly isn't. But it's a place where God can be in the midst of his people. And is God good? He truly is. He is. I love that. He's true. He's good all the time. Pharaoh's daughter said, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me. Can you imagine right now, Jochebed? You want me to nurse this child? This is a child that I gave birth to. Can you imagine that? That is amazing. I will give you, plus that, I'm going to let you nurse this child. I'm going to have you wean this child, and then I'm going to pay you to do it. Now, is that a God thing?
Yeah.
That is totally a God thing. Now, just imagine if we just kind of just loosened up a little bit and had some time here, and then we'd give each person maybe a couple minutes and come up and say, share, this was a God thing. I want to share this with you. This was a God thing. Wouldn't that be a wonderful service? It really would be, because I love hearing from you guys, seeing what God is, because God has God things in our lives. He's amazing. We love him. He's an amazing Lord. And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And can you imagine what that was like? You notice the woman's faith. She took Moses to the very place that the babies were being killed. You know, she didn't take him somewhere else and hide him. She took him to where the babies, it appears, were being killed in the river, and she put him right there. I mean, the faith of this woman was amazing. I would have taken him somewhere else. How about you guys? Let's hide him out in the desert. You know, let's go back to Israel. Let's do whatever we could. Just hide him in that way. Moses was taken to the place of death and raised up beyond it by the ark. That's the picture that we have here. He was taken to the place of death. That was the death, the place of death. And he was raised up above it in the ark. Guess what happens for you and I? Jesus is our ark. Amen? He places us, we are placed in Jesus, and he raises us up above death. We're going to go, as we look at Moses' life, we're going to look at different things that we see each week and see the picture of who Moses is compared to where Christ is in a very special way. But that's just one, this wonderful ark that we see there. Moses was placed by faith into the ark, and by faith, he was identified with Christ from the place of death. So then look at verse 10 there, please. It says, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. It's interesting. Moses is Hebrew for drawn out, but the Greek for Hebrew is, or not Greek, the Egyptian for Hebrew or for drawn out is M-U-S-A. It looks like Moses, but it's M-U-S-A. The literal translation of the Hebrew for drawn out points to this. Moses' name points more to God having drawn him out, not the woman drawing him out, but God drawing him out. I think that's special. God totally in control of every aspect of our life. That's the picture of Moses. And we're going to stop there tonight. just simply 10 verses, and we'll pick it up next week, Lord willing. But it's just an amazing thing. We're going to continue with the book of Exodus and look at the life of Moses. Very special time. Amen?
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.